Right, we're rolling. Good evening, Bob. How's it going?
Good evening, Andrew. Great to be here with you.
Excellent. Okay, this time around, I'll do the introduction, and then you can offer your copyright notes. So it's the 24th of August, 2010, in Auckland, New Zealand. We're talking with Bob Dobbs, who's in Hawaii, and it's the 23rd of August, also 2010. Bob, you've got some copyright notices that you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is copywritten for August 23rd, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 10:57 p.m. Hawaii time on August 23rd. What time is it in your place?
It's 3 minutes to 9 o'clock in the evening. And, yep, we're deep in the heart of Polynesia. Hawaii talks to New Zealand.
Very good. Okay. I just want to say this. I was thinking of it. We came up with this in our little preamble. Conscious mediumship, we don't know what it is. It's an invisible environment. I want to just note that it's interesting how we're talking about something we're not sure what it is. So that's a good prerequisite for how we're approaching this. It's not hard. It's like electricity. We don't know what it is. Yeah. And maybe that's a good metaphor.
Yeah, okay. Well, so to lead into that then, I was thinking, as I was reflecting back on our previous talk, there seems to have been a certain media environment that would actually allow those words to sit together, conscious mediumship. And so the idea of surely it had to be the inauguration of the sort of computer satellite situation or late TV situation that would let those two words sit together.
Yeah, because we're inside the cave again. William Irwin Thompson, in his book Imaginary Landscape, lays out cultural shifts, cultural ecologies, and he begins with the trance state as art form in the earliest settlements, or even nomadic society. So there were people totally tactile. They couldn't see their feet. They didn't know what they had. There's no way to. They were measuring their environment the way we do with our eyes. They had their faculties coherent, but I think that they had nothing to go by, so they couldn't see anything. They felt, and therefore no one could judge what the heck anybody was speaking from, if they grunted or whatever. So this dark tactile space, and it's also blinding light too, would be the results of being inside the satellite proscenium arch, which creates a cave. So it's not a dark age by humanist values or literate value systems or literate value judgments. It's a dark age because it's too blindingly tactile. I like McLuhan's point. Black is the afterimage of tactility. It's not a color, so tactility is not a color. So the closest you can get to it is black. So this we are entering. We have gone into since the '60s a very primitive or futuristic, strange space. And as I was saying in the last session, whatever technology you grab onto is your channel, your vehicle, your medium, your prosthetic. Okay, so that's one way to do it. Beyond that, the more and more people are not able to claim what they're speaking from, where their thoughts are coming from. So conscious mediumship. You know, it's remarkable how much channeling is cliche today. I mean, it's well known. You see it in regular columnists, Wall Street columnists. They'll joke about channeling. I think that tells us something. We're conscious about the activity of channeling. What does channeling refer to? It means some unconscious blathering or something leaking out of you that you're not totally responsible for. So definitely speech. Speech is such a blather. People will be hard pressed to determine where it's coming from. So verbal media are channeling, and it's interesting how people Well, are you aware of that? The channel is a word that's very widely used.
Oh yeah, for sure. We go channel surfing all the time.
No. You got. I don't mean that. But you know, people will say, "I'm going to channel my inner child," or "Obama was channeling today." That's what I'm referring to. The idea of a psychic medium is projected on people in all kinds of daily activities by people who you wouldn't think are interested in the occult and seance. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, channeling. I'm following what you're saying. It's just I think it's possibly not such a big deal. Maybe it was. I think definitely in the 90s it was a big deal, but maybe it hasn't really been sort of lately. Although that said, there's a couple of pieces on the Onion posted recently where they're making fun of the shamanic trance type situation. So yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely in the popular conscious.
Yeah, the chemical body having thoughts come through it from an unaccountable unconscious or another dimension, I guess that the channeling is an acceptable meme, a popular stereotype, because from the chip body or discarnate state, whichever level you want to talk about it, the activities of the chemical body look like they're a zombie state, that you're in a trance. That's the percept that we bounce from. So therefore, conscious mediumship has to refer to something that's not involved with speech. See, Dave Worster probably talked about conscious mediumship 40 years ago as conscious speaking. But that can't be the range of the medium now. The medium is how you use your BlackBerry. That's the medium.
Yo.
So, go ahead.
So, like in a, say, like a literate or pre-literate situation, people, well, at least for a certain period of time, had understanding that they spoke from possibly reason or something like this, or they could had a source or location that they could assign to being the font of inspiration and what was said. But now that's totally gone.
Yeah.
Is that what you're pointing at?
Yeah, well said. I mean, the background to what you're referring to is the manuscript page or the book page. People had the page as a carpet on the rug of their thoughts, a carpet on the floor of their thoughts, a backup, a chair to sit in was the page and reference points. That's why, you know, in the last 20 years, the Bible has become a major focus for that security blanket or rug you're sitting on or pillow. For the literate societies, it's the last book. It's the last background. It's your subconscious. The actual medium is your, and any of the pages thereof are the subconscious. So, what is the security blanket, cushion, pillow, rug for the 18-year-old today? You know what would it?
Nobody serves up a language to them. There's no training or common or what would you say? There's no science to that anymore. There's no a common mythology beyond this idea of channeling. So yeah, channeling is
That's right. That's right. Speech becomes channeling. So because there's the background to it is no longer an anchor. They got the swirl of information and interactivity, texting. That's the to actually try to say something, to make a point, to be logocentric, would appear to be a zombie activity, because the idea is not to have a point of view, just to interact with witty texting.
Yeah,
witty and witty.
Cut and paste. How can you if you're cutting and pasting, you're essentially channeling in a way.
Right. So then that's the hobby. Wearing huge environments or putting yourself inside some job or role, that's the real channeling today. Getting a job is being a channel, because it's you're putting on these environments, these industrial environments. So they are starting to kind of look fragile and not even they're not even a safe cushion or rug anymore. But you can see putting yourself in an environment, wearing the whole technology that you work in, the corporation, the office, that is what you're channeling.
Yeah, I'm a living billboard for a brand touch experience.
A brain what?
I'm a living billboard for a brand touch experience. I'm living
what's
the brand.
What's a brand? Oh, I see. Not yourself. I thought you meant you. You, yeah, a brand touch. Did you say touch?
Yeah.
A brand touch, a brand tactility?
Yeah, a brand touch experience. Like, it's all brand touch at every point. And, you know, when you're part of an organization, you're at every moment of encounter, you're offering a brand touch.
Yeah, you could bring in some of that 90s talk about you're a node on a circuit. Remember that talk, being a node on the circuit. Oh, did you hear that Wired magazine announced that the web is dead?
No, I didn't read that.
Yeah, I don't think I've posted yet. Do I have that right here? It says, this is an article, August 21st, New York Times. Now look at this. I just mentioned the dark, and it says now playing Night of the Living Tech, TECH, night. There's your nighttime, your dark age. Life in the Media and Communications Terrarium, TERRARIUM. That's trying to come up with your habitat. Life in the Media and Communications Terrarium, that would be your invisible and inaudible environment, it seems is getting increasingly perilous. The predictions of demise are piling up. Phone calls, email, blogs, and Facebook, according to Digirati pundits recently, are speeding toward the grave. Last week, Wired magazine proclaimed the web is dead. Yet evolution, not extinction, has always been the primary rule of media ecology. New media predators rise up, but other media species typically adapt rather than perish. That is the message of both history and leading media theorists like Marshall McLuhan and Neil Postman. Television, for example, was seen as a threat to radio and movies, though both evolved and survived. Still, if the evolutionary pattern remains intact, there are some fundamental differences in today's media ecology, experts say. Strip away the headline hyperbole of the death of those kind of death of things, of predictions. Strip away the headline hyperbole of the death of predictions, they note. And what remains is mainly commentary on the impact of the accelerated pace of change and accumulated innovations in the internet era media and communication environment. A result has been a proliferation of digital media forms and fast-shifting patterns of media consumption. So the evolutionary engine runs faster than ever before, opening the door to new and often unforeseen possibilities. Then it quotes Janet Sternberg, I've met her, an assistant professor at Fordham University and president of the Media Ecology Association, a research organization. She says change has changed qualitatively. Up, for example, sprout social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Foursquare, and others that are hybrids of communication, media distribution, and unvarnished self-expression. New versatile digital devices, whether iPhone or Android smartphones, iPod players, and iPad tablets, nurture more innovation and experimentation. Now, I'll just finish with this next paragraph. Adaptations follow. College freshmen don't wear watches. Cell phones are their timepieces and seldom use email, notes the Beloit College Mindset List, which was released last week. The yearly list, created by two faculty members in 1998, is intended as a glimpse at the attitudes and behavior of new college students. Instead of email, young people prefer to communicate through social networks or instant messaging or cell phone text messages, to which their friends are more likely to reply quickly. And this is Americans are talking less on their cell phones. When they do talk, the conversations are shorter, according to industry data. Okay, so last sentence. Partly this reflects the shift in use of cell phones more as mobile computers that communicate via written messages. Okay, so they're talking about technologies, you know, figures. It's the hypnotism, the hidden effects, the hidden environment that we should be talking about.
Yeah, no, I totally
agree.
What
the heck are we?
So, like Wired magazine, they kind of missed the point. Like, for me, that comes across as unconscious mediumship. You know, like I'm thinking back to McLuhan's notes on Burroughs, where he's saying, when a technology is new, it yields utopias. Oh, bingo, Wired, when in its heyday in 95, referring back to the, you know, the web and the glorious utopian possibilities. And then when the full consequences of each new technology have been manifested in new psychic and social forms, then the anti-utopias appear, or dystopias. And that seems, I mean, Wired magazine seems to be just offering a dystopia of the death of desktop computing, and that iteration of what the web was. So what insight are they brokering?
Yeah, they don't recognize that the chip body is here to stay. I mean, there is a global web of intercommunications that the mobile computers are using. So you're right. They're just talking about sedentary web activity is dead.
Yeah. And so they haven't seen how they're just reacting to the situation in a very programmatic way.
But that's what journalism does. You know, it's just there to exaggerate a situation, sensationalize, and, get attention. So, you know, they might as well just say Bob Dobbs is president of Ukraine. You know, Bob Dobbs is president of Ukraine, you know, for second term. They just make up crap. That's the only way. That's why information, a post-information society, it's not meant to be. I wouldn't criticize it for being wrong. We should actually say that Wired is doing a service by presenting a bunch of bad patterns for us to bounce off and get better patterns. So, you know, the average daily work is designed to do lousy work so we can have stuff to get patterns from. Yeah. If we didn't have lousy work, then we wouldn't have anything to bounce off of.
Yeah, no, I'm good for that. So we've got something out of it. We've got conscious mediumship is not journalism. So
that's unconscious. Unconscious. Yeah, the Android meme is unconscious mediumship, and the strategy how to become a conscious medium in relation to that. Now you're not becoming a conscious critic or conscious perceiver necessarily. You cannot be but a medium when you interact with others, because what you're wearing, your technology you're using, is your medium. So conscious mediumship is totally different now. It's not a action of the mind or a Krishnamurti level of perception in relation to speaking. That is puny. Since everybody is being unconscious by using their media and knowing that creates wealth, using your media badly, getting it wrong. this was inaugurated by the second George Bush presidency, right? A great president, you know, who got everything wrong and did it on purpose, or didn't matter whether he was doing it on purpose. Just be stupid. They keep everybody typing and getting patterns and feeling like life is a purpose. You know, Bush energized a great purpose. You know, Reagan was an earlier version of that, but it's not as extreme as George Bush. So now we have a so-called conscious medium known as President Obama, very conscious person, so conscious he just walked into the White House and everybody assumed some kind of better reality was immediately going to happen. So he ends up showing that some kind of conscious perspective is not enough, because if you only do it in chemical body terms, you're not getting it. And McLuhan was trying to point to a conscious mediumship that was not involved with your chemical body. He was reduced sometimes to say, well, just turn it off. The only way we can deal with conscious awareness of this discarnate state is we're going to have to turn it off. It's the only way to become aware of it. But he also had other strategies, not just that. And the other strategies what we should work with. So are we trying to be smart? No. Are we trying to be wise? No. What are we trying to do here? Are we trying to preserve the role of the detached spectator, which we were talking about last week?
Or to fail miserably and generate a wealth bomb.
I find Ion's platitudes actually very appropriate when he says you can't fail. That's where we're at today. You cannot fail living in this situation. It doesn't matter whether you are accurate or grammatical or perceptive, but it does create maybe a sense of isolation, which then makes people feel the crowd is disappearing, and the crowd disappearing is the ground of consciousness. And if that's disappearing, then you're in an Armageddon or apocalyptic panic.
Okay, so that...
Now, the ground is not just... Yeah. Go ahead.
To stick with the notes on Burroughs, which I've got to thank you for... You drew my attention to it and its significance. You've got the situation where... if I can go back, and actually rewind quite a long way back. You said McLuhan doesn't have a theory of consciousness, or at least he claimed he didn't have a theory of consciousness. And then, but that's one way of saying that possibly he had a theory of consciousness that he didn't own. And we've got him talking about Aquinas' theory of consciousness, and that's very closely parallels McLuhan's articulation of the imagination. Now, in that, towards the end of the Burroughs article, he's saying Burroughs is going to be a paradigm of a future that's coming to existence, this one man sitting, how would you say it, who's an environment to everything. And then you've got the, as you've pointed out, a medium situation where consciousness, the activities of consciousness, are actually mimed by the medium itself. And so what does that do to human consciousness?
Yeah, I just by you restating his statement, in 66 or 67, that he has no theory of consciousness, in this context of what we just said, it's really apt, because he wasn't saying, see, let's be careful. If he's not saying, I have no concept of consciousness, though it seemed, and he did say, I deal with percepts, not concepts. But actually, to say I have no theory of consciousness is saying the idea of consciousness as a product of the chemical body is not relevant, is not useful to get some kind of, I don't know what he wanted, comprehensive awareness or something, some kind of perspective. That's he's saying to me, I'm just hearing it now for myself, that he's saying, well, chemical body consciousness is not the issue. There's another kind of consciousness, because he said we're at the highest decibels of consciousness in the mid-60s with the TV environment and the beginning of the satellite environment.
Yeah, so
what were we that?
So the conscious mediumship actually becomes a word which can come into existence in and around that time. Sorry, that's just a footnote to what you're saying.
That's right. Consciousness, it can become nebulous, the chemical body consciousness. And by chemical body, I mean our physical body or what we think we have, the bodies. But people have, over the last 20 years, become aware of the cyborg metaphor and the matrix idea. So they can see that, yeah, we're not limited to our chemical body. But the how do you be conscious? And I find there's not a movie or an art form that gets at it, but that gets it accurately. But it doesn't matter if they get it accurately. Did you flip out?
No, I'm still here. Or there.
Okay, just heard a bubble. It doesn't get it doesn't get it doesn't matter. The art's service as an anti-environment is not important anymore. We're trying to figure out what an anti-environment is.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what McLuhan was doing, and he could be casual about the things he said while he was trying to be precise, the clothes he was wearing, the success he was doing, because my whole fallacy, see, this is what it means. It's okay to be a fallacy. That's the beginning point. You are a fallacy. You can only be a fallacy. You can only be a fallacy in any terms that you'd measure. But most people, they're not engaged in chemical body consciousness. They're engaged in a tactile interactivity that's gauging, very like musicians improvising. Everybody is constantly gauging where they're at, not based on words or clothing or bodies. It's based on something else, which I call the chip body, the TV body. It's It's the processing. Why the heck is everybody writing all these reviews of the movies and TVs and things they see? Because they have to articulate a response by just telling what they heard. So just it doesn't matter what you see or hear. I just want to know whether you saw what I saw. Did you see the same movie? No, I didn't. Okay, well, you're not on the same world as me at this point. Later, if your world, your terrarium includes something I've experienced, like some album or a CD or a TV show, then we're temporarily in the same world. It's the gauging of that. In other words, the consumption of media, of entertainment or media consumption is the guide to consciousness. It's what you connect with people. It's just connecting with people. And so conscious mediumship. You know, when Carpenter, at the beginning of They Became What They Beheld, I think the first picture, the first words are, only connect. That's not accurate. That's not appropriate. Connect every now and then. Doesn't have to be only connect. It's not a big deal to connect. But it is the ground of your of the media. Okay, so conscious mediumship is your connections, the things that you say you both shared, that you consumed. That's the medium, temporary, very short nano medium. Did you see the show last night, or did you see what happened on my blog? And if they say yes,
yeah,
there's a medium has been established. Established a tiny
nano medium, a tiny flash of consciousness, an awareness of a shared something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That
a discontinuous point of light. It flashes up.
That's right. The continuous points of light. But that's, it's not just light, it's sound. It's any perceptual intake.
Sound,
you know?
Tactile. Yep, gotcha.
So we actually just stumbled into an amazing insight. Nano media, nano environments, nano grounds. You know, people are looking at what nanotechnology will invent, and they say, okay, we'll have this new nano device, and they'll do this and that for us. And they look at the figure of the technology. It might establish some ground for a few years. No, the technologies can't keep up with the establishing of ground. Ground is established through conversation, through conscious mediumship. It's talking and sharing, I guess, and texting creates an instant society, an instant community. Nano media, nano grounds. That's a good one.
Yeah, just like Twitter then is like just a million sort of micro pulses of nano consciousness.
Nano and consciousness described as ground, some shared space, some agreement that you're inside the same environment.
Yep.
And nano grounds. So conscious mediumship in an age of nano grounds. I'm just wondering, where does hypnotism come into this?
Okay.
Hypnotism.
Yeah, I've got some stuff that we can, go back and re-talk about what we've just said, or possibly come at it.
Yeah, now the fact that we're talking, Andrew, the fact we're going to talk for a couple hours here, that's a huge nano ground. You know, nobody stays this long in a ground.
We're right up at the micro. We're up at the micro level. You know, we're pretty big.
Yeah. We're almost Baudrillard's. Beware the molecule. We're becoming a molecule. A huge disservice. A crusted, fossilized establishment.
But that's
especially if we do it. If we do a third show, oh my God, so that would declare war on us.
That's why people can't listen, Bob. You know, like we were talking before, how you were like the most recorded man on YouTube in human history, but nobody's got the time to listen, is because, you know, it's not meshing with the nano conscious. You're offering these massive, big micro chunks, and they're just way too big.
Right, and they're just the excrement, the waste product of my establishing a temporary nano community with someone. I create a nano community whoever I'm interacting with and recording. It's that process. It's not the production. That's why you don't have to listen to it. But you have to notice that Bob is a establishing communities constantly. That's the world record. Built more cities and more communities and more nanograms than any other human. In 3 years, he broke all records. You know how they talk about televisions took 15 or so years to become an environment, and the computer took 6 weeks to become an environment. Yeah. Remember that stuff they said in the 90s? Well, listen, Bob establishes environments. Over 3 years, he's established 40 more communities than there are stars in the sky. Nano communities. That, we've actually got some. We got something here. We discovered something.
Oh yeah, we can be. We could be a research agency based on that. Yep, that's we've got a metric that gauges the life cycle of nano communities and micro consciousness.
So that's what was the meaning of Obama going on The View. He had to go anywhere to any medium to establish a nano community for the old establishment of the White House. You know, talk about living eschatologically and grasping for straws. I'm grasping for a nano community. And they had to have all these bodyguards. They had to use the employees of the ABC studios, people who worked on other programs. They're the only ones allowed to be in the audience. You know, already had passed clearance just to get in the building, and then they really policed them. And so they had to cobble together the agents of the TV landscape to be the audience, and they had to have big traffic jam, and you had to drive them there, and security. Major. It's almost like the Iraq War. It was a major deployment of ancient molecular grounds. The White House is a molecular ground. Too slow. Yeah. Now this kills all of McLuhan's terms. This is, we've created a new language. This might even be Croker wrote.
No, Croker's pretty good. I'm just reading Data Trash again at the moment, and he's pretty good. At least he was in the 90s.
Yeah,
I think it's one of the best books for the 1990s I've ever read.
Yeah, no, the Data Trash is excellent, and Croker deserves to be on my chart. And he provided great stuff for me to bounce off, because, you know, he was saying what I meant. But I think we could go beyond. See, Data Trash is not the issue. It's not. No, there's no trash anymore. You know, there's just only connect, but only do it for a few minutes. You know, somebody told me, who was this? Oh yeah, Freighter 222. His partner is a psychologist, and dealing with this relationship, this young woman and guy, they met on the internet, or maybe in the texting world, and within 24 hours, they declared themselves, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, in a serious relationship. And they were involved with each other for 24/7 for about 2 weeks, and then it burned out. Their relationship died after 2 weeks. It was a hyper connecting. That's relevant to what we're trying to say. Young people want to establish identity in their chemical bodies. And they're not giving up the idea that they got a chemical body and they're going to show the world that it is here, right? So, and that's what a lot of the economy is built on, that drive. So these kids are to attempt to get to the molecular level of a relationship, to get beyond the normal nano ground of nano community of texting. They had to make a Herculean effort, and they did not foresee that the constant attention and trying to hold one nano community for over a week just burnt them out. They couldn't do it. All because they thought they were chemical bodies. Probably never. I don't know how much time they got together. Maybe they never met physically. They just had this relationship. Okay, yeah, well, hypnosis.
A high friction event for your, your chemical body avatar for the rest of yourselves. Okay, so I've got a number of quotes lined up, and if we could just go through them again, because I think they're of value. We talked last week or last session about the imagination. You said the imagination is that ratio among the perceptions and faculties which exists when they are not embedded or outed in material technologies. When so outed, each sense and faculty becomes a closed system. Prior to such altering, there is the entire interplay among the experiences. This interplay, or synesthesia, is a kind of tactility such as Blake sought in the bounding line of sculptural form and in engraving. Okay, so that's from the Gutenberg Galaxy. Now, the interesting thing that I find is it's really close to McLuhan's understanding of the common sense that he claims that he gets from Aquinas. So Aquinas reminds us that all sensible qualities are related by a power which has long been called common sense. This intellectual power is that by which every sense experience is simultaneously translated into all the other senses, presenting us with a unified sensory experience, which is consciousness. Consciousness is thus the act of making sense, and the material change affects the sensible quality as well as the one sensing. Okay, so that's going into Take Today with McLuhan and Nevitt. So you've got McLuhan saying, well, the imagination, the common sense, consciousness are all pretty much the same thing. Yeah, fair?
Imagination, the common sense and consciousness are all the same thing.
They're all bound up in this idea of this power or faculty that simultaneously translates senses into other senses and presents us with a unified sensory experiences, which is...
Well, maybe you would add tactility. You would add tactility there.
Yeah. So it's this tactile interplay is at the root of this imagination, common sense, consciousness.
I agree. Okay. Now that sounds pretty molecular. When you're dealing with the nano sensus communis and the nano tactility and the nano consciousness, that's what we're up against. And Croker does begin to talk about that. You know what I mean? He definitely covers the nanobite world of ourselves. So, but I think.
Well, can I continue? It's like the problem. Yeah. One of the things that I'm grappling with at the moment is that that interplay. What happens then when, if I can quote the sort of McLuhan and Powers, another one, that what may emerge as the most important insight of the 21st century is that man was not designed to live at the speed of light without the countervailing balance of natural and physical laws, blah, blah, blah. Page 97 of the McLuhan and Powers book in 1989. You've got a situation there where he seems to be talking about being involved in this internet web situation where it is the environments themselves that are actually, as you say, or I've said elsewhere, are miming consciousness. The environments themselves have are acting in this hyper-tactile way, and what seems to be the case is that human consciousness or human imagination then flips into a state of fantasy. It goes too far.
Okay. Good statements there. Very useful. So I'm thinking that McLuhan implied there was a post-tactility coming up in his 1974 article, Media Approach to Inflation, New York Times op-ed in 1974, September. So September 21st, I'll say it since I remember it. There's this nano is post-tactility. See, the limitation of talking about imagination, consciousness, tactility, and common sense is too molecular, too stretched out. The thing is, people don't require tactile intervalness anymore. They only put on the tactile connectivity in a nano community, pretend to connect. You can look, you know, when you see how young people worry about their careers, it's more important about what they're going to have, where they see where they're going to work or have a role, than their chemical body relationships or even maybe their chip body relationship. It's this. It's the yearning for, it's the feeling that connecting with something is a disservice. And I'm saying this connecting is what we meant by imagination, tactility, and the common sense. That tactile interplay is connect, disconnect, but there's an ongoing shared space. With nano hypertactility, it's not what the hypertactility is. Hypertactility becomes the art form because you are really in a uncharted, disappeared, no need to connect situation. See, that was the hype of the web, that it connected everybody, but it actually was trying to retrieve disconnection as an art form.
Yeah.
Really, really, the internet disconnects people, and so it's better to have disconnect. Oh, no, disconnect is good enough if you're living in a world of not connecting because there's no time. It's too huge to connect. that I'm getting at something here. You see what I'm saying? That those themes that Marshall's talking about do not apply to where we are now. They are.
Yes, no, no. They become, well, they can be propped up as an anti-environment. They're pointing at something that's over the horizon, and I think had McLuhan been alive today, he'd be one of the first over that horizon exploring it. So he would have thrown his language out the second it stopped working.
Yeah, I think that he maybe felt that by the late 70s, and that's why he committed suicide, in the sense of every death is suicide. He liked Zappa. Zappa goes out in 93, right when music's going to be democratized and anybody can make anything. It's like these geniuses couldn't, these experts in their sensory intelligence couldn't make the transition to nothing. They were too much of something. I would say that's the strength of me. By being a nothing in some way, allowed me to have staying power. I recommend it. You be this kind of conscious nothingness.
What the hell does that mean, Bob? So you're a builder of nano communities and conscious nothingness. So I challenge you to explain that.
Well, the pressure's on me to perform. I mean, I have to move to the molecular level. Remember, Baudrillard said, "Be abandoned or beware the creeping molecule." I think it's nice that to have two or three shows is or performances is molecular and quite an impedance in people. I mean, what I find in your own teaching experiences, the few notices you've given me, you don't feel there's anybody there. Don't even have to go through the motions. It's like a big nothingness that everybody agrees to share. So you're teaching in a situation where people are pretending to connect, but it's slow and a headache because you're in this old classroom environment, right? It's really could cause cancer. It's so slow. And anybody's in school is going through a lot of pain because they're just being disconnected. No, that's not the word, disconnected. No, they are not allowed to engage their disconnected state. They got to remain connected too long. That's the point.
Yeah, we definitely need little nano classes.
Yeah, like this. We've provided big enough insight in the first 20 minutes here to qualify as course credit. We just created a course credit with the last 22 minutes.
Yeah, so let's get busy with causing pain then by moving up into too big.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. Conscious mediumship, where does hypnotism come in here? Is there even time to determine that one has been hypnotized? When to connect with someone or to pretend to connect in a nano community is to put on a shared hypnosis.
Yes.
We agree this is what's happening. So there's not even conscious hypnosis. Conscious hypnosis, another slogan. When you're a teacher, you're consciously allowing people to share and be hypnotized. I remember at the one media ecology convention I attended in the fall of 98, I think it might have been Edward Wakin, not sure, or I just read this title in the symposia. You agree to be a pupil, and I agree to be a teacher. That was the title of his thing. You agree to be a student, and I'll agree to be a teacher. It's like, let's set up a nano community.
A shared hypnosis or an invitation, auto-suggestion for a shared hypnosis.
Yeah, a shared hypnosis that we know that we can hypnotize, and we actually will allow us to. I will allow myself to pretend to teach you, and I know I won't get anything through to you, and you'll pretend to be a student, and your job is not to take in anything I'm doing, but to do a temporary bunch of nano papers that show that you think you're pretending to get me. The larger thing is people come together today to break up, to disconnect, because you have to connect so you can disconnect. The point is to develop your yoga and fakirhood in disconnecting. So you come together, because most people don't even bother connecting to get a disconnect. They're not here. or their chemical body is not here, but their ESP, their scanning of what people are watching and doing and programming themselves. That's what people are. There's the daily espionage that McLuhan talked about.
Okay, so if all communication is ironic hypnosis in nano communities, yep, we can go with that.
Yeah. And how about this? At the end of the hot and cool, you know, Gerald Stern book, Interview with McLuhan, he's asked, will there ever be silence? And he says, objects are unobservable. Only relationships among objects are observable. I'd say we actually have arrived at silence. And it started 40 years ago, the silent majority. So somehow silence has become the figure, the thing you play with. I mean, that's what entertainment is in the music world, or whatever you call the sound world, the hip hop world, is noise. Now, William Irwin Thompson's written on that. Just acknowledge it. Noise is the interplay of connection and disconnection. The healthy point of this, or the sanity generation, is all the things that people are told and taught are negative are not negative anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, completely. I mean, the only, the eco crisis. Great. Talk about. Shared language. A foundation, right, on which we could found a nano community.
I'm not, and so they had to kill the BP oil crisis. It was just driving everybody. It assumed what's bigger than a molecule? It actually became an object, a huge object. A Death Star that everybody was stuck with contemplating the imagery for, 6 months or however long it was. Do you know that? I don't follow it, but I heard that it's disappeared. It stopped. It just stopped. It had a supernova and disappeared.
Yeah, but they had one in China straight after, So it's like, America, they've just had a oil spill. Shit, they're getting ahead. So let's, we've got to have an oil spill too. And so they had a massive oil disaster just to keep people talking.
Yeah. Now, since conscious mediumship is kind of a miracle, something, a shaman act, it just comes through and it has effects on people, and no one really knows where it came from, and scientists and people try to figure out what that is, what the chi is, or what this magic is. There's something to that. We don't worry about pollution, and we don't really try to solve it, because we know that the whole collective being that is engaged on the planet today will vomit up some weird shamanic energies and solve it. And that and those energies involved in the mixture of the chemical body, astral body, TV body, and chip body, that conglomerate, and I've added four other ones, but we won't go into them. But that mixture is the pot, the stew that's boiling, that's going to create new vapors and gases that have never been measured before that will solve our perception. And more we're allowing ourselves to believe that you can think anything, it'll happen. See, there, you can take that thought. Thinking anything and it will happen, you got to break that down to the disconnect to form a nano community. Where is thinking in there? Thinking's too molecular. It goes on too long. You find as a teacher, there's no thinking happening. You'd be hard-pressed to describe what the heck your students are doing, but it is an experience that you enjoy, or something's being gotten out of it. I think it's the ESP scanning of patterns. It's like doing more and more with less. You just have a few people say a bunch of things during the class, and that's enough for everybody else in the class, even those that didn't speak, to get a pattern to shape. So McLuhan said we were hydraulic jacks, and you had to be a hydraulic jack in the 50s. Well, we're now hydraulic jacks to maintain thought, just to keep thought going. We live at the speed of thought now, not the speed of light.
Yep.
So something has collapsed in that effort. And, I won't go into the object I'm creating, huge object I'm creating, huge living star, billion, trillion points of light.
Yeah, okay. So the Illuminati conspiracy, we can keep it, Bob.
Yeah, it's none of your business. I'm not going to bring that in. I mean, it would be useful if we could stay around long enough to connect long enough to pay attention to it. Then you could know it, but you're not going to have time. So
I'm too busy to listen to your Illuminati conspiracy anyway.
Yeah, and what are you too busy at? Using your ESP to scan what you think might be happening that you will immediately cancel. This is Croker's terms, you know, ecstasy and then cancellation, you know, hyperactivity, then cancellation. See, it's interesting. If you look at Data Trash or Spasm, he is talking about nanobytes, but I get a feeling we're pushing it. We're going past what Data Trash is saying here. By perceiving, by even talking, no one talks Croker stuff. There's nobody discussing the words and language he presents, right?
No, unfortunately, because it is poetry, and it is beautiful.
That's right.
To read. It tastes delicious.
Okay, it's beautiful now because it's a carapace that we can admire, as McLuhan said about Wyndham Lewis in the Atlantic Monthly in December 69. We can now look back and admire the shield he did. You couldn't get Croker in the 90s. I mean, I was doing it to you even before. We were doing it on the McLuhan list, and you freaked out and disappeared for a couple of years. Couldn't take it. But now it's obsolete. You can appreciate it. But we are using that language. No one's used it to discuss things. We're doing it. And that's the new ground, talking, using some of the percepts that Croker and Weinstein came up with, Michael Weinstein, using it. When we just walked into this, we just channeled this. We just walked ourselves in the nano communities and recognized we were channeling Croker. But because we're actually saying it out loud, that's conscious mediumship. No, that's not right. We're saying it is mediumship. Wrestling with it. Trying to beat it up is conscious mediumship, because mediumship is somebody says something and everybody's amazed at where these vapors are coming from, and they're kind of hypnotized by it. How's this guy coming up with this stuff? Well, we're not impressed with what we're saying. We're trying to beat it up. That's conscious mediumship. That's pretending to be hypnotized, but not for very long.
Yep.
Okay, top that one. Wait, what pattern are you going to come up with?
No. I was just opening a page in Data Trash and just assuming that I'd come across something that related immediately to our conversation.
pretending synchronicity. Good.
Yeah, no, and it's actually not too bad.
Okay, do it.
But why be nostalgic? The old body type was always okay. But the wired body with its microflesh, multimedia channeled ports, cybernetic fingers, and bubbling neurobrain finally interfaced to the standard operating system of the internet is infinitely better. Not really the wired body of sci-fi with its mutant design look, or body flesh with its ghostly reminders of 19th century philosophy, but the hypertexted body as both a wired nervous system embedded in living, dedicated flesh. And it was just it's just a brilliant account of, I guess,
of what we're talking about.
Yeah, the 90s, the 90s situation. It's just, just the situation just before we disappeared over the horizon.
Yeah, and what page is that in Data Trash?
It's page 16. It's on the left-hand side, and the subhead is the hypertexted body, or Nietzsche gets a modem.
Right, now you see, because he's naming the computer parts, that's the Android meme, different parts of the computer talking to each other, you know, the modem talking to the browser or whatever. So it's too leaden to have those parts. There are no parts to the Android meme. Remember McLuhan used to say there are no parts in the electric circuit?
Yep.
Well, there is no dialogue. The Android meme collapsed a couple of years ago because it was just they couldn't maintain any nano communities. And they're just it's still limping along in Wall Street, where they have these nano profits that collapse within a week.
Boom bust cycles, yeah, the rapid oscillation.
Yeah, the rapid oscillation boom bust cycle is within 7 days or 4 days. You see, they can't get object status. But can you go back and read, because what you just said? Let's just point out some of the words, because they are. Nanobrains. Did I hear that phrase? Do it. Read it slowly and respond to some of the words.
Okay. But why be nostalgic? The old body type was always okay, but the wired body with its...
Okay, hold it. No, you got to just do a few words. Why be nostalgic, and then what's the next few words?
The old body type was always okay, but the wired body...
Okay. The old body type, that's the chip, the chemical body, right?
Yep.
And it was always okay. Now, yep. The but is, what's the but?
The wired body with its microflesh, multimedia channeled ports, cybernetic fingers, and bubbling neurobrain finally interfaced to the standard operating system, that's in quotations, of the internet is infinitely better.
You know what? That's what he misses. He's delineating the chip body, showing what's servicing the chip body as it becomes bigger, but he's missing the nano community formation to connect with the internet or the chip body landscape. That's gone. The web is dead. See, this is what they really mean. The web landscape, the web, the molecular web community is gone. It's too long. It's too much of a object.
Yeah, but this is continuous. The point.
It's too continuous. What Croker, I mean, the book is the new worker's manual. It's the new update of Marx. He's trying to, I've heard him say this in interviews, he's trying to provide a language for the working stiffs or the people, the working people that he thought he was helping. He said, I always remember what my father did, some tractor he worked on or something up in some small town in northern Ontario. Red Rock might be where it was. But anyways, this sort of looking at how industry and the blue-collar worker was wiped out. And he's creating a language for a community as the 21st century unfolds. That's the fallacy. There ain't going to be long enough to establish any community. So there's no point in – there's no ground for implementing the insights of data trash, because it's the – speed up and nano communities, which people only half require, that is the fate of everybody, including the working man. That's what's missed here. He says that the social – he's pointing out that the new habitat is the chip body, the chip landscape. But when you say the web is dead, that landscape is too long, too continuous to be considered – the area for a quick nano community. This is important what I'm coming up with here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm beginning to.
You're going to see as you read the book, he's describing the lineaments, the outlines of the chip body and the chip landscape. And it's all totally perfect right on. Nano brains. Isn't that the phrase, nano brain?
No, it's you're getting my Kiwi accent. It's neuro brain. But we've got the
neurobrain.
Yeah, but it's quite good because it's the bubbling neurobrain. So it's like it's got the elements of pulsing and seething and of little pockets of air in that situation.
Yeah, I'm looking at the title of this article, New York Times. Now playing, in other words, arriving at a molecular state. It's going to be around to be considered a now, and it's playing, you know, for the weekend. Night of the living tech. Technology comes alive. That's the Android meme. It's the night of it because it can never establish any permanent status. And to be concerned about the night of the living tech, that's your now. That's your instant community. This article creates an instant community, a nano community. But it includes and emphasizes the non-existence of it by calling it a night. The night of the living tech. They're actually saying what I said in the late 90s, that the Android meme, the 90s was the after image of the Android meme. Android meme being from 1960 to 1990.
Yep.
It was, the 90s was the night of the living tech. Now, they're just noticing that there's something too continuous with the web. The web is, the technology is not dead. The effects of the surfing within it, bring in the surfing point. There's no time to wait for the wave. Sitting on the beach is good enough.
Surfing's no longer surfing's no longer the metaphor that applies.
That's probably why you broke your foot. You damaged your foot because you were expressing a frustration. It was too long. You wanted to be let off the molecular level of the surfing community there in Auckland. So you disconnected. You literally disconnected. So you could get back in touch. You could get back in touch with the nano communities that were forming day in and day out. That's what you did. You left the McLuhan list, didn't focus on it, went off surfing, but it backfired, and you now have to come back to the very McLuhan list that you created to notice the nano communities, because each thread is a nano community.
Yeah.
This is important. We actually got a breakthrough here for the McLuhan centenary. The missing point of the postmodernists and the super punks like Croker, they missed the disappearance of the communities. Now, maybe we could find a quote, but the whole fake of the book was to create a language as we enter the 21st century that the working class could be hip enough using to, not be outwitted. But the hidden ground was the nano community started to form in the 90s, nano community life.
So would a nano community, would you also be able to refer to it as a momentary deity? You know how McLuhan often talks about those momentary deities, and it's
That was the definition of speech back in Greek times, right? That they considered the gods as momentary deities, and a lot of them were intertwined with words.
Yeah.
No, that's too molecular.
Like around a singular word or a single event, and it was this idea of this. Like an encounter with the divine that always flashed into existence and flashed out. It was very passing.
Okay, deity, because the point is to disconnect. It's a nostalgia for disconnecting, because disconnecting implies there was a community you could have connected with.
Yep.
You can't form the community. It takes too long. The nano community is, let's go in, disconnect like any thread on the web. It is nothing but disconnect and frustrating the drift of any continuous thought in any thread posted. So a nostalgia for the disconnect means it's the momentary anti-environment. It's not a deity. It has to be an antimatter, a momentary demon, a momentary anti-demon. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Deity implies something to stare at for a little bit and give significance to. It's only momentary, but you're going to give significance to. This is what Croker meant by the nihilism that the net world brought in. Nihilism could be adapted to this idea of nano communities, but it's nihilism of the chip body, not of the chemical body. And that's where Croker gets too nostalgic for the artist of the chemical body. That's why I have artist as the old stereotype in the Croker quadrant. They're trying to prop up the artist idea. And the best they come up with is people like Stellark and others that use machines to make their art. But the art is really going on all around you as people create nano communities. Can you just bring in your grandfather? If he looked at the discontinuous length of relationships people have. I mean, here's a guy who lived in a world where you had a partner for a whole life. To think that a kid burned out in 2 weeks, very emotionally involved, like married, and the way people have no constant relationships anymore, and it's not a problem, this would be terrifying. This would be a crazy nihilistic environment to someone from 100 years ago. This would look like demons everywhere, right?
Yeah,
it'd be like the images of hell that Bosch painted or somebody painted. Go ahead.
But, what they – I guess it's almost back to Einstein, that sort of the train going at – sitting inside the train going at the speed of light, looking out, and but on the inside time feels like it's going slowly, whereas on the outside it's going fast. And so if you're in this situation where you're in a relationship in this online space, it's 2 weeks is, I mean, 2 weeks measured by solar time, you know, solar time's irrelevant. That's a huge amount of time experienced on the inside.
Yeah, and that's why they burned out. They tried to make their nano relationship last. In a heroic effort to make it last, they went for two weeks, and they probably are in the hospital now. You know, they silly. Why try that? But you know that chemical bodies are there, and they yearn for a continuous relationship. Man, how are you going to have one? How are you going to connect?
You'd have to go to the desert or something.
Yeah, you'd have to leave the West, so to speak.
Pretty much.
Drop out and go to Africa. Okay, so as a matter of fact, in the TV series 24, Jack Bauer, living this nano life of espionage and gang fighting, he dropped out and ended up in Africa. That's where he did. But that's like 5 years ago.
Excellent. So we've got a business idea out of this as well, Bob. We can start like a little, you know, like Africa, deepest, darkest Africa is a romantic getaway, the only place where you could sustain a relationship for longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, you actually could be so slow. You don't want any technology. You want to be half starving and have a broom and a hut. That'll help you slow down. That's a media myth. A bunch of media gathered together. It's a mythic environment you live in. That'd be heroic. But hey, you know what a community is? It's a thread. You remember years ago, you'd be, well, we had this thread going, and then Michael Evans sabotaged the hell out of it, you know. Or Peter Montgomery killed the thread, killed the community that the thread was forming. And don't mention Mark Salman. That's a nihilist of all nihilists. He blew up a thread. He started thread and blew his own initial thread up. He would post a thread and start a thread and blow his own initial posting. Blow it up.
No, Mark Stallman, yeah, I'd say, was probably still is an artist of email. He's had some of the best rhetoric in an email situation, I think, that anybody was able to muster.
Yeah, the most nihilistic prose, and always got succeeded in getting kicked off any group, any nano community that deigned to have him for a few months. I mean, the Media Ecology Association, when it was first forming, you know, they Mark blew them up, or they had to blow him up because he was blowing them up too many times. And they were trying to establish a community. They were hoiking up the molecular goal. And how's that working out for them? Well, yeah, they're quoted in this article. It's you know, they got Neil Postman up there with McLuhan, which is ridiculous. It's quoting from some of that gang in New York, the Media Ecology Association, and you're not going to get too much. Okay, Negroponte, who started the afterimage of the Android meme with his book Being Digital in the mid-90s, the article ends with his quote. Let's see what he says. Attention spans evolve and shorten. Now, that's just it. Attention spans evolve to molecular level and then collapse back to nano, or they say and shorten,
yep.
As even the most skilled media jugglers can attest. Now, the media jugglers, that's Quadrophenia, for God's sakes. That's incredible. Another use of my stuff without acknowledgement. Quote, I love the iPad, admits Mr. Negroponte. But my ability to read any long-form narrative has more or less disappeared, as I'm constantly tempted to check email, look up words, or click through. Now, that's an old molecular fogey who thinks it's disappeared. He should have said being digital, being a nano community should have been. Because, you know, Croker's trying to describe the new body, because the chip landscape, which was formed in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, as the Android meme, it started to get miniaturized and holopathized in the 90s, so it became shrunk to body size. So he's describing the body and how maybe it cannot connect with anything, but it can't connect with anything, but he still thinks it might connect with something. The nano community is the hidden anti-environment to all this. So here's this guy. He admits he can't read any long-form narrative, because he has to keep moving. He does not want to be a terrorist by staying one spot for too long, maintaining a thread. So this is an example of being disconnected as a value. Mm. I do not
I do not engage in any long-form narrative. I am constantly tempted to check my email. I'm constantly tempted to check out, look up words, click through, disconnect. It's the value of disconnecting.
Well,
the community of those that disconnect from the community really fast. The faster you disconnect, the better. And people, and then the article itself ends with, and people, every bit as much as technology, shape the churning media ecology. So people shape the churning media ecology. In other words, they're implying community. People is a group of people, a group of individuals. People, the nano community, shapes the churning media ecology. If we agree that people are a nano community, damn right, that's an accurate statement. And I haven't even read this article yet. You know, I'm looking forward to this. I have no problem. I'll engage in long-form narrative. I'm consciously quadriphenic. Start putting ads in Craigslist, willing to engage in long-form narrative. Anybody who wants to connect with me must write 5 pages of prose before I'll even consider you to be a member of my long-form narrative community. Yeah. What's the level above molecule? Object, right? You become a molecule and then you become a compound, a chemical compound? Yeah, a chemical compound is the level above molecules. That sounds like a force majeure. What's the other phrase? Martial law.
Yeah.
I'm moving towards martial law to form a chemical compound. A compound for chemical bodies. Well, you know, okay, I'll let you speak. I've been going on improvising here. You take a solo, Andrew.
No, it's actually probably time to wrap this up, Bob. I was pretty keen on keeping them at least small enough so that people, at least maybe 3 people that will ever listen to them actually can listen to them. So we're 1 hour and 45 minutes in. So if it's good with you, let's call it a wrap here and resume again.
Yeah, you're wisely worried about we might have extended ourselves beyond nano community status here. It's very wise. You've learned your lesson.
We're way beyond, but it's at the back of all of this. I am quite interested in some sanity generation, and I would like to try and keep it useful and helpful for people.
Okay, well, great. We did just about an hour and 50 minutes last time, so it's about, I think it is a little too long, but it sure went fast for me. I was in the throes of my nano community generating insights so I could disconnect, and I just got one disconnecting pattern after another. I was quite...
You were a conscious medium.
You're the conscious medium. This was a thrilling class. Honored to have audited it. Loved auditing your class. I certainly won't hang around to be tested, but it certainly helped me today. Help me get through the night of the living tech.
Well, I've enjoyed our shared hypnosis, and on that note, I'm going to push the stop button, and we're done.